In today's gospel, Christ is revealed in his glory, and we are instructed to listen to him. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, John, and James, and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The great Italian Renaissance painter Raphael died in the year 1520. He was 37 years old. The very last painting he produced was the scene we just heard proclaimed in the gospel, the Transfiguration of the Lord. Of course, many great painters have painted that scene, but Raphael's rendition of it, I think, is very instructive to us. He divides the canvas up into two parts. The upper part shows Jesus transfigured, his true divinity shining forth. Peter, James, John, Moses, Elijah appearing there, but Christ transfigured so that his deepest self is made revealed. But the bottom part of the canvas shows what's happening at the base of the mountain, at the very same time as Jesus is being transfigured. Because the gospel tells us that while Jesus is up on the mountain, down below we see a man with a son possessed by a demon, along with Jesus' other apostles, waiting for him to come down to cure his son. And I think putting these two scenes together reminds us of something very important. The transfiguration of Jesus, that marvelous, wonderful experience, that peak moment, so to speak, cannot be isolated from the rest of Jesus' ministry. Jesus will not stay up on the mountain transfigured. He will come down the mountain to continue his ministry. Now remember why Jesus went up on the mountain in the first place. He'd been teaching, preaching now for 2 years, a little more than 2 years, and he was beginning to run into resistance, especially from the leaders of the people. They were beginning to criticize him, to be scandalized by him, to plot against him. So in his humanity, Jesus wants assurances from the Father that he should continue with what he's doing. That's why he goes up on the mountain, to commune with the Father, to receive the Father's assurances that he's doing the right thing. And while he's up there, of course, he has this peak, wonderful experience of union with the Father. And Elijah, the greatest of all the prophets of the Old Testament, Moses, the greatest lawgiver, come. And they assure him, they assure Jesus, he should continue with what he's doing. They say, go and complete your exodus. You're passing through, you're passing forth. You must continue and do that in Jerusalem. So Jesus, from that peak moment, that peak experience, will go back down the mountain and continue his ministry, beginning with the healing of that boy. Now, what a distinction from Peter and James and John. What do they want to do? They want to stay up there on the mountain. Let us build three tents here, you know, and we'll stay up here and we'll be in the presence of God and Moses and Elijah. Isn't this wonderful? We'll stay up here. But Jesus says, no. I have to go back down the mountain and continue my ministry. I think there's a very important message there for you and me. We all are given by God peak moments in our lives. We have special moments, special times that are just wonderful blessings. We get engaged. We get married. We have our first child. We graduate from college. We get a dream job we always wanted. Those are special blessings, special moments of blessing. But isn't it true for all of us that those peak moments don't last? They're wonderful while we're experiencing them, but then we've got to live out their meaning every day. You know, the day of the wedding is a beautiful, wonderful thing. But now you've got to live it out day after day. You go on the honeymoon, it's a wonderful thing. You come home, you've got to start living it out, right? And I assume, unexperienced as I am in these matters, I assume that for most of you, not every day of your marriage is a peak moment. You got to live it out, in good times and in bad. Or you have that first baby. What a wonderful moment in the hospital when the baby's put into your arms for the first time, huh? Just you look down at that little gift of God. How marvelous that is. But what happens then? You got to bring the baby home. You're walking around the room at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to get the baby to stop crying. You're changing diapers. That peak moment is beautiful, but then you've got to live it out, the meaning of it. You get the job you've always wanted. It's great. But then day after day, you have to live with the expectations, the pressure, sometimes the anxiety. So the peak moments that God gives all of us are wonderful things, but we have to live out their meaning every day when maybe we don't experience the same exhilaration we did at the moment that we had at first. Peak moments have to be lived out. And it's down at the base of the mountain where Jesus proves his fidelity. He's up there with the Father, yes, but he proves his faithfulness down at the base of the mountain all the way to Jerusalem, to the cross. Same for you and me. We prove our fidelity, we prove our discipleship, not so much in the peak moments, but in the way we live them out faithfully, the meaning of them, every day. A few years ago, there was an interesting little song. Because it's Lent, I was going to give you a penance and sing it to you. But I decided against that. You don't deserve that. But anyway, the song was very interesting. In it, this man comes home in the afternoon, and he says to his wife, "When I left here this morning, I was never coming back. I was running from you. I was running from my job. I was running from the kid in me that never knows when to quit. But I got to the edge of town. I turned around. And I came back home to you." What do you think of that, he says. She says, "Well, it's interesting you should say that. Because when I left here this morning, I was never coming back. I was running from you. I was running from my job. I was running from the wrinkles that no cream can erase. But when I got to the edge of town, I turned around and I came back home to you." I think a wonderful encapsulation of what it means to be faithful to the peak moments. There are times we all run away. We all would like to run away sometimes. We get tired, we get frustrated, we get bored. We say to ourselves, "Is that all there is?" We want to run away, but we don't. And it's there in that faithful living out of what God has asked us to do that we prove our fidelity. Not in the peak moments so much, but in the faithful living out of them every day. Now, there are times, of course, we have to make changes in our lives. If you're trapped in an abusive relationship, you don't stay there. If you have a health problem that requires a great lifestyle change, you make the change. But for the most part, where we find ourselves every day is where we're faithful, faithful to the Lord. The peak moments are wonderful, but our fidelity is proved, like Jesus, at the base of the mountain. Let me conclude with another little true story about a German king back in the Middle Ages by the name of George III. He'd been king for a number of years. He now was 45 years old, and he was sick of it all. Didn't want to be king anymore. So he decided he would join a monastery. So he went to the abbot. And he said, "Abbot," he said, I can't take it anymore. I'm sick of the people. I'm sick of the royal court. I'm sick of the intrigue. I'm sick of it all. I want to be a monk. I want peace. I want to be a monk." So the abbot said, "Well, your majesty," he said, "you know, if you become a monk, you realize that I become your spiritual father, and you have to obey everything I tell you to do. So you've been the king, you've been giving all the orders, but now if you come to the monastery, you know, you have to obey everything I ask of you. Are you willing to do that?" King George said, "Yes, I am." The abbot said, "Good. The first thing I order you is this. Go back to the palace and be the best king you can for your people. Go back and live faithfully where God has placed you. Go back and be the king." We need to be faithful every day. During this Lent, it's a good time for us to reflect on what it is the Lord asks of us every day. The peak moments are great. They're wonderful blessings, but it's every day where we prove our fidelity. Let's ask the Lord for that grace, to be like Christ, to rejoice in the top of the mountain, but to be faithful at the bottom. May God bless you.